The message you are about to hear was recorded at New Life Church of the Nazarene. New Life is located at 300 Ulloa Street on Naugash Hill in San Francisco, California, 94127. Join us for Sunday worship services beginning at 10:45 a.m. The mission of New Life is to become like Christ, to belong as His community, and to bring His gospel to the world, one life at a time.
And I'm going to invite Maddie to start us with the reading from Titus chapter 3. We're going to stand, and after she reads, we're going to hear from this little envelope right here as well, a little letter that Paul sent to Titus as well. So let's all stand, turning to Titus chapter 3, and let's hear God's word.
Doing what is good. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Hang on a second here. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. As soon as I send Artemis and Tychus to you, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all.
This is God's word, and I invite you to keep the Bibles open as we're going to do something in a moment, but let's pray. With these Bibles open, Lord, our hearts are also wide open to receive. Just like we receive mail in our mailboxes, that mail is useless until it's opened, until we see what's inside. These gifts that we received and gave at Christmas are useless until they are unwrapped, redeemed, and enjoyed. Today, Lord, with our hearts wide open, we ask you to change our lives by your grace. We ask you to unwrap us and unfold before us all that you have in store from your truth and your word. May everything that happens in the course of this worship service be a glory unto you. Speak to us, give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for the reading, Maddie. Again, keep your Bibles open. We're going to do a quick review of where we've been these last 3 weeks into this fourth week. And the slides will show the first message. David, if I can get a little help on the next slide there. Curtis brought to us the word from chapter 1 about a man on an island. This is Titus, a letter written to a young pastor by an experienced pastor by the name of Paul. I met a Paul this morning. And he wrote this letter from a separate place to this young pastor in Crete, which has been unchurched, is new to Christianity, is new to the Christian faith. And so Titus needs some guidance. So as a man on this island full of brutes and liars and gluttons, this church is emerging by the grace of God. And Paul writes this letter to this man on this island with some guidance of how to behave, how to choose leaders, how to become a person worth following as they follow the example of Jesus. And we saw that list on one side and the other of all of these qualifications for leaders, and we all felt very discouraged. Because if it was on our own strength, we could probably match one or two of them, but there were 17 things on that list. It would be impossible for us to measure up to the kind of leader that Paul was telling Titus to find, except for the grace of God. And the grace of God changes men from brutes and liars and gluttons and Cretans into gracious leaders who look like Jesus, who smell like Jesus, who are like Jesus, who are followers of Jesus. The second week, Pastor Jeff brought to us a message called Display the Gospel Where You Are. And many of you were challenged to bring the gospel not just to church as an offering, but to bring the gospel into your workplaces, into your communities, into your families, to be representations of the gospel exactly where you are. So church doesn't just happen on Sunday. Church happens wherever you walk. Your mission field is wherever you step, whether it's in San Francisco, whether it's on the peninsula, whether it's in the East Bay, whether it's in Crete. You display the gospel of Jesus Christ where you are. And in follow-up to that, week 3, also in chapter 2, last week, Pastor Jeff talked about how Jesus came to make us new. It was our Christmas message, but many times we don't get tied to the Christmas passage. Yet there was that very vivid example, that verse that said, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." How about that for the meaning of Christmas? Jesus appears into the world, to people on Crete, to people in Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and even here in our community. Jesus comes to make us new. And it's all about His grace, and we will not run away from that grace in this particular message today. Chapter 3, but part 4 of the message today. We will stay with grace, and what's interesting is I want to warn us that we don't just look at the title line. If your Bibles are open, there's a title line that the editors have included there. And if your NIV, your Pew Bible says what I think it says doing what is good, right? Is that what it says? Nod with me if you're following along. Doing what is good is important, but doing what is good has to be rooted in grace. It has to start with the source of where good comes from. You can't do what is good without the source of good, and that is from God. Amen? We got this letter. I received this letter to Pastor Titus. So imagine for a moment that we got this letter in the mail. Today's Sunday, so it came yesterday. And this is a remix on the chapter that Maddie just read for us. I want you to follow along in your Bibles and see if the remix, this paraphrase that comes from this letter that would be circulated around, if it speaks to you. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but follow along as you hear the same thoughts as I was doing the study. I thought maybe it would sound something like this. This is stuff to totally stress about and what not to stress. Hey, Titus, tell the people that they've got to respect and obey the ones in charge. I know what you're thinking. Bow down to the man, sell out to the establishment. Listen, it's your job to show them how to always be ready to do good, to always make peace, to never talk smack behind people's backs and consider everyone around them. You know, you got to be humble with others, not arrogant or proud. Show them how. Remember back in the day, we were fools and rebels. We were lied to and trapped by our own junk, our own me-first kind of life. We lived crazy, talking behind other people's backs, wanting everything that didn't belong to us. We straight up hated each other, and now that I think about it, we were really hating ourselves. But Jesus, oh man, Jesus, he was the real deal. And he showed up and he was good to us. He was so good to us, so loving, so kind, right up in our face. And he rescued us, not because we proved ourselves to him. No way, man. It was mercy. For real, we could have been jacked big time. He had every right to crush us. But instead, he let us off the hook big time. Clean slate, like we didn't have a criminal record. A new man, a new life, a fresh start because of the Holy Ghost. Man, he didn't hold back. The Father just kept pouring and pouring the Holy Ghost into us. Like a rich man with money coming out of his ears, he gave us Jesus, his best gift. Since we got the gift now, and we got the clean record, seriously, the clean record of an innocent man, can you believe that? Now we get to have all the massive hookups with the real Godfather, God, the Father. What's his is ours, no joke. Everything he owns belongs to us, his kids, especially what he's got going on forever. Titus, trust me. You just got to know this. Don't miss it. Listen up. Everything I just said, make sure everyone who knows Jesus at your church hears it again and again and again. This is what's going to make them do right. When they know God's got their back, for sure, they're going to be in there even when it gets hard. They're not going to hit the road. God's stuff is the real deal, and it's for everyone. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. There's going to be haters. There's going to be complainers. There's going to be whiners. Stay out of it. Just stay out of it. They're going to try and tell you, believe this or believe that. It's all fake. They're going to try and pull you to get their turf and pull you to be on their turf and get their way to get you on their side. They're going to test you and see how much you know and how smart you are with all the fine print. And do you know what I got to say about that? Just stay out of it. It's a trap. They won't get you anywhere. And you'll be just wasting precious time. So Titus, warn the haters up front once. And if you have to warn them twice, then warn them up to their face. But if they're not hearing you, then drop them. They're twisted, sinful. And they're hanging themselves by their own rope. You got it? Now, Titus, save the dates and meet me in Nick City this winter once I send my boys, Art and Ty, to you. And be sure to give the lawyer Zenas and my buddy Apollos the hookups like only you can when they drop by your church. I told them to find you and that you'd take real good care of them. If we can't take care of each other like family, like a real good family, who will? So promise me you're going to teach the people to do it like family does. For real. Every day. No lazy cretins in this church. We're taking it to a new level for Jesus. All the family here, say what's up. Be sure to give a shout out to the rest of our Jesus crew for us. All right? Grace to you. Peace out. Pastor Paul, signed, sealed, and delivered. What'd you think? Weird? Strange? We need to hear it in outside of the Bible's language. And remember, it's a letter. Perhaps it's an email. But it's something that needs to be delivered and stressed to people who need to hear it. And so today, I hope you can hear and feel what Paul is stressing about. And when I say stress, I want you to hear, it's not being anxious. Stress, we hear that word and we're like, I'm so stressed today, I'm anxious. You feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. That's not the stress that Paul is talking about in the passage. He's talking about emphasis. Emphasizing what is big, the big deal. One way to say it is one of my professors when I was in seminary. He said, the major things, the big things, major on those things. Major on the majors. The minor things, well, minor on the minors. Keep the big things big, keep the small things small. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. And here's what Paul tells us today to major on. We're going to start with the minor things in reverse order here. These are the things that you don't want to stress about. As you heard from Pastor Paul to Pastor Titus, these are the things, we put them in small letters on purpose on this PowerPoint. So if you're taking notes, leave a lot of room because there's some notes you can take here. Don't stress about the small stuff. The first thing is your personal sins of the past. Are those things a big deal? Absolutely, but Jesus has forgiven you, so don't sweat it. Don't emphasize and constantly return to the personal sins of your past. And I say personal because sins can sometimes be very generic, but it's also very specific. But when Jesus' grace comes into your life and you receive forgiveness, those sins don't hold you anymore. Those things are gone. Make them small. Small letters, small font. They were a big deal, but not anymore. The personal sins of the past, Paul talks about how he was rebellious before, how they were twisted in their past, but it's not what defines him anymore. The second thing, don't stress about this small stuff, it's the current controversies. There's a whole list of things in many of Paul's books, Paul's letters that he writes, that are controversial issues of religion, of traditions, of customs. We could even include today politics, whether you're in a red state or a blue state, whether you side with this issue or that issue. Those are important when they need to be discussed, but not when it comes to the big, major things of grace. Let those controversies be minor. Debate them however you like, but not at the expense of grace. There are things that are happening in the world. Even now, just gun control. Should we or shouldn't we? Politics always comes through. Church politics comes through. But current controversies, the stuff that bothers you, most of the time, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. The third thing we want to stress about. This is an interesting one. Genealogies, as you saw it in NIV, in my New Chertasovitz translation, I used spiritual family ties. The New Living Translation says spiritual pedigrees. We're thinking about how when you find out where somebody's from, sometimes you react based on what you know about that place. This just the last couple of days, I was at a winter retreat with a lot of Chinese immigrants. And I don't speak Chinese, so I'm preaching in English. It was getting translated. And one of the recent immigrants, a student, asked my wife, so where are you from? And so Venus, who was born in San Francisco, simply said, I'm from San Francisco. No, where are you from? Huh? So she was hearing the word in Chinese, and she realized he was asking not where you're born, but where are your parents from? Because in Eastern cultures, they want, oh, well, did you come from a reputable village, country, culture, what have you? So you may, I've seen some heads nodding. You know what that's like, right? Are you from the Rockefellers? Are you from the Joe Schmoes? Are you from Forest Hill? Or are you from not Forest Hill? You know, just you just have this assumption about people based on where they're from, where their families are from, and then all of a sudden you just judge them higher or lower, and that was happening in this church. Their genealogies. I'm from the line of Benjamin. I'm from the line of Judah. I'm from the line of Bubba, right? And who knows what line they were from, but it was dividing them. It was dividing them, and they were just saying, you sit over here, you sit over here, but we don't sit with you. These family genealogies were getting in the way of grace. Don't do that. Don't sweat that. And maybe you hear it too much, but I would challenge us in 2013 to sit somewhere else. There's some places I know my dad loves to go to the symphony. When I go with him, there's this little metal plate on the seat because somebody's paid hundreds, perhaps thousands of dollars to say, this seat was purchased in memorial of Mrs. Davies or whatever. Okay, I don't have that kind of money, and we don't have names on these seats. Be a family. Sit with each other. There should be no one sitting lonely by themselves. Pastor Jeff always says, within reaching distance. It shouldn't be something that happens over and over and over again. When you get together with your families during family gatherings, you don't just go sit in the corner over there while everybody, you just come in, you hug, you sit with each other. All right? You're tired of hearing that. I know. But the fourth one, this is an important one. Endless legalistic debates. The stuff that goes on and on, talking about the law, the way Paul writes about it in here, he says, arguments and quarrels about the law. Talking about the Cretan law, not quite, probably more about the Jewish law. The Ten Commandments, the 613 additional commandments, the way that you become a good spiritual follower of God was you should follow laws, right? You should get circumcised, right? You should keep the Sabbath, right? You should observe all the feasts, right? Well, in their minds, they thought, yeah, just do the traditions. Just show up, keep the law, no one on your back, no one reminding you. And Paul says, that's not how you know God's grace. The grace of God is not about law keeping, so don't nitpick about the legalistic debates. Should I eat this pork, or should I eat this shrimp, or should I eat this adobo, or should I eat this palut, right? Should I eat, is this clean, is this unclean? God makes everything clean. And so, don't worry about the law. Follow God, experience grace, but they were caught up in it. In Crete, in this culture, they had this dividing their church. And they would debate about it. They would spend small group time discussing it. And Paul's telling Titus, go bigger. Go beyond that stuff. They're going to keep talking about it. And when they do, drop it. Warn them once, warn them twice. That's it. Don't stress this stuff. We spent a little time on it. Now we're going to spend more time on the big stuff with the capital letters. Make sure you've got room for these things. These are the big things that we want to stress, to emphasize. Not to stress you out, but to understand by mercy and by God's grace, we've got a life that's off the hook, off the law. We have to stress these things. The first thing, God loves me. We're going to go to the next slide. Is it locked? David, can we get the next slide, please? There we go. Next one. Next one. There we go. Okay. This sounds so basic. This is something we're going to teach our kids over and over and over again, but we need to teach all of us and remind ourselves, God loves me. This is what you need to hear. If you ever come to church and you don't hear this, you went to a bad church, okay? God loves me. God loves me. We'll explore that in a little bit. Number two, God changes me. And we're going to have a chance to respond to this particular idea personally. But God loves me. God changes me. God saves me. These are the things that Paul is emphasizing and stressing, the big things for Pastor Titus to understand. God saves me. Not I save me, but God saves me. Number four, God renews me. In a church like New Life, we need to understand what renewal looks like. And it's not resolutions, humanistic resolutions. It's renewal. And we'll explore that. Five, stressing the big stuff, that God lives in me. God lives in me. You've written down those notes. He loves, He changes, He saves, He renews, and He lives in me. How has God loved me? The next slide. Two questions I want us to consider. Yeah, I know God loves me. I sing the song too. But how has God loved you? I want to hear some testimony. How has God loved you? Somebody, bring it. How has God loved you in 2012? How has God shown his love to you? Bob?
By providing my every need.
By providing my every need. Dad, I'm still kicking. I'm still kicking. I woke up today. He still loves me, right? How has God loved you? How has God loved you? Not just theoretical, but in real, practical, down-to-earth ways. How has he loved you? If you love somebody, God is also loving you. This is good. These are great personal relationship examples. We just went through Christmas, and I said down-to-earth for a specific reason. Because when God was up there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he sent God down to earth in Jesus. Jesus has loved me, past tense, by coming into this world to assume our lives as human beings, to live, die on a cross. When somebody asks me, how do you know God loves you? I bring him to Jesus. I bring him to the cross of Jesus Christ, where I see sacrifice, where I see forgiveness. And you start there, and then you can love others, and then you can understand how God has provided for you and why you have breath today. How has God loved me? He loved me through Jesus. That's a very important part, because we cannot love like the world loves without Jesus at the center of that. How has God, big G, loved us? Big J, Jesus, big J. He's loved us through Jesus. How has God loved me? How is he constantly loving me? That needs to be coming through in what Susie said, the way that we love others as well, and the way that we receive love from others. But if we're not aware of it, we become complainers, and we become whiners, and we become haters. The way this church in Crete, whose focus was no longer on God's love, they were focused on the law, and culture, and tradition, legalism, controversies. If I were to put a quarter, maybe I don't have a quarter, in front of me right here, it's very possible that I can block out the sun. I could. Now, the sun is huge. The sun is thousands of times bigger than the earth, but a small little quarter, shoot, let's even go to a dime. I can make a dime block out the sun if it's close enough here and I miss the big picture. You know what I mean? Take that out of your eye. Take that stuff out of there and focus on the love of God. Every single day, through Jesus, into our daily life, you woke up to be loved by God today. Stress this. Number two, God changes me. But how has God changed me? If you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for over 10 years, I hope you can remember back to what it was like life before Jesus. And I hope there's a marked change today, 10 years later. But even if you've been a Christian for 10 days, and the journey that God has been bringing you on, the grace that God has taken you, placed in you, that there's an ongoing change. We won't talk too much about this because we're going to have some time in a little while for you to do this personally. But we've been talking about the story of God for the last 25 weeks or so. And as we come into Titus, I saw a deep connection with this because our stories, they have a beginning, they have a middle, and they have an ending. But they always have a change that goes on between. And if you know your life story as written through God's story, there is a change in you. And that change needs to be evident. It needs to be expressed. How has God changed you from the past? But also, what are you going through today that's changing you for tomorrow? You're going to be different 5 years from now if God's grace is active and at work in you. You're going to be different in 365 days from now, on December 30th, 2013, if God's grace is active and alive and changing you today through Jesus. We want to welcome this, but I put this footnote in here. Change is hard. Change is uncomfortable. Change is difficult. Change can be painful. Change can sometimes be offensive. But we want God's gospel to change us, not the small things. The big things. We want to be changed people. We don't ever want to come into a worship service at 10:45 and leave at 12:30 unchanged. Worship needs to change who we are, even in the span of an hour and a half. God changes us. Consider, how has God changed me? And how is He constantly changing me? Number three, God saves me. Your salvation story, it's a wonderful story. If you are not yet saved, that's still part of your story. That God is drawing you closer and closer to Him so you may know what salvation is in Jesus Christ. But you should be able to tell others, how has God saved me? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I used to worry about what other people thought about me. Now, all I care about is what God thinks of me. I used to be so concerned about grades, about career, about wealth, about security. Now my security is in Jesus, and if I have those things or not, it doesn't define who I am. Every one of us has a different story, but God saves us from our sins, and He puts into us mercy and grace and love, and those are the things that we want to stress in your salvation story. There are times when you hear magnificent testimonies, and I've heard them firsthand. I was a drug dealer, I was I ran a brothel and all these things, and sometimes those make me feel like my testimony is so small. I was just this kid who was concerned about being good. And I feel like I don't have a testimony. Let me just say, every one of us has a testimony of salvation if you know Jesus Christ. And every one of us can have a testimony of salvation if you place your trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have to have the big dramatic criminal record in the background, because Paul says, don't sweat it, don't stress it. Your sins are criminal enough. Talk about them, but emphasize the grace, the love, the significance that you have in Jesus Christ. Emphasize that. Sometimes I am convicted by my own wife when I preach a message and I just talk about how sinful people are and how we are all wretches, and then she just says, I want to come to the throne. Oh, I want to hear Jesus. Oh, and if I fail on that, she'll tell me. Because we got to emphasize the victory of Jesus to save. And so let me make sure I say that right now. He saves us from our sins. Yeah, we were once sinners, but we are in the process and in the position of being made into saints. Big holy word for that, the big Nazarene word for that is sanctification. It's a process and it's a position. It's everything that we have there. So understand, yes, you were a sinner, past tense, but you are in the process of becoming a saint. Saint Earl. Everybody say Saint Earl.
Saint Earl.
You made me smile. I mean, really, when you say that to me, like Saint Pierre, just Pierre, you know? But really, if we look at each other that way, because of the salvation, Saint Rebecca, Saint Phil, Saint Papani, Saint David, we're not making you into a Catholic saint that needs to be venerated and you have icons that you touch and you need to do this too. You don't do that. You just understand God's at work in you, saving you every single day. So Bianca, you're a saint. She's laughing because it's hard to believe. But if you know Jesus, you are. And we are. Number four, God renews me. God renews me. I love going to the library. I do. But I hate it when my book or my DVD goes past the expiration date. And I forget to renew it. Why is that? Because I have to pay. Because it's expired. But if I renew it, I get to hang on to that book, that DVD, for a couple more weeks. And all it took was a simple click, a reminder to me, to say, just renew that book. Spiritually speaking, what does that mean? Do we have to get saved again? Do we have to go up to the altar and bow down and weep and cry to Jesus like when we first came to know Jesus? Well, in a certain sense, yeah. Doesn't mean it got old. The grace of God never gets old. But His mercies are new every morning. So be renewed in the love of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians to go back to your first love. I'm sorry. He speaks to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 when he says, go back to your first love. You've forgotten what it's like to be loved by me. Those of you who've been married for a long time, for many years, you can just go back to that first year of marriage like Pastor Jeff and Tricia. In this 1 year of so... You hope to have an eventful 2013 just like you've had in 2012? You think, I can slow down a little. But man, get married, have a baby, move your house, and you know, visit so many flights in between. Like, what an amazing year. And I'll bet you, in 10, 20, 30 years, Cadence is going to be 30 years old. Jeff and Tricia can look back on 2012. Remember this first year of love like it was yesterday. A renewal. Just saying, that's why we said I do. That's why you said you would love me till death do us part. Coming back to the joy of our salvation, renewing our faith every single day. How is God renewing us? How has he renewed you? Is this old life, Church of the Nazarene? Or is it new life, Church of the Nazarene? God makes his people new over and over and over again. Happy New Year. You say that, what do you mean by that? When you say Happy New Year, you mean, I hope this year is better than the next. By grace it will be. Even if things don't go your way, by grace, you can be renewed and this year can be better than the last 10 years. Number 5. God lives in me. The dwelling of God, the grace that is in us, we are vessels of God's grace. Yes, God lives in me, but I've changed the questions here. We know that it's the Holy Spirit that comes into us, but I also want to make sure we understand that our gospel is useless. Our gospel is bad news if we don't emphasize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we just finished Christmas. Easter's a few months away. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the linchpin. Everything hangs on the fact that Jesus is alive, period. Jesus is alive. In me comes later, okay? In me comes later. But do you emphasize in your own daily life, when you wake up, when you put on your clothes, when you drive to work or drive to school, that the resurrection matters in 2012 and in 2013? The resurrection of Jesus Christ has to be at the forefront. This is a big deal. This is something Paul wants to stress over and over. He spends a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 laying out the gospel that Christ died, was buried, was raised, and appeared. His resurrection has to be real. Otherwise, don't come to church. Don't pray. He's dead. But Jesus is alive, so understand that. Then, if that resurrection is emphasized in your life, then ask the second question. Do others acknowledge that Jesus is real and truly alive in me? Truly alive because of the change in me. If that resurrection is real, it will change you. It will transform you in ways that you can't change yourself. There are so many advice shows, TV shows, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Dr. Anything, Judge This, Judge That. There's so many infomercials that sell products that you can just change your own life for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And you get two of them. But we cannot. We cannot change our own lives. The resurrection needs to change us. The resurrection is the power of God. The gospel that Jesus is alive needs to change us. And if that's in you, if Jesus' grace is alive in you, other people will see it. But here's the thing. Know that you go to church. They can know that you have a Jesus bumper sticker on your car. They can know that you wear Christian t-shirts. They can know you listen to Christian radio. They can know a lot about you, but if they don't know Jesus, that needs to change. Jesus must be alive in you. And this isn't Jesus that belongs to your parents or to your tradition or to your family spiritual pedigree. This is personal. Jesus must dwell in you personally. Don't depend on other people for what Jesus wants to do in you. Depend only on Jesus. Now, what I want to do, I want to show you a couple of pictures here and ask the question, how has Jesus changed your life? I'm going to ask for some help to pass these around. And I'm going to show you some pictures as these are going around. There was a church who decided instead of Christmas ornaments, our church was going to make testimony ornaments. And so show the first picture here. There was a man, he put his picture on there, dangled it from their tree, and he started with this. He said, I was, past tense, I was wounded and mean. Real simple statement. I was, but he, Jesus, is loving and the all in all. Therefore, he has my whole heart. I don't know this guy's name. I see his picture and I think, what a cool thing to hang on your Christmas tree at church. The next picture. This guy says, I was a child of hell, but he is forgiving of all. Therefore, I am a child of God. That testimony, it's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. I was a child of hell, he's forgiving of all. Therefore, I'm a child of God. The next slide. This girl says, I was a victim. That was my identity. I was a victim. But Jesus is my redeemer. Amen. Therefore, I'm clean. Are you hearing the change? Are you hearing the transformation? You don't even know who these people are. I never met them. But every single one of us wants to be a trophy of grace. We want to be an instrument of God's glory, the way he changes and transforms us. Look at this next one. I was in a strong delusion. I don't know what that means. He had a lot of things in that. But he writes it down. This is my past. I was in a strong delusion, but he is grace. Therefore, I am living life for him and abundant. Wow. That's their testimony. We don't even know them, but we're amazed by God. Is there another one? Good. This is yours. This is what you have in your hand. I want you to take a few moments right now. There's a pen in front of you in the seat. The most tragic thing that could happen today is that I would walk out of this church later on and see these empty and blank, sitting on the chair. Don't care about this. Don't want to write anything down. Just leave it there. It's litter. What I want you to do right now is turn this piece of paper into a treasure right now. Put your name at the bottom as well, okay? Put your name at the bottom. I want you to consider what you were. Just write down. It could be a word, could be a sentence, whatever you're comfortable with, but I was. Need some back there? Okay. Extras, okay? And extras, extras. And then if you consider Jesus is in your life, the big stuff Jesus has done, who is he to you? Write that down as well. Jesus is. I was, but Jesus is. And as he brings about this transformation in your life, as you see how grace has been changing you, therefore, what makes you different? Because of Jesus. Write that down. I'll give you a few moments still just to consider that. Make sure you write your name at the bottom of there. This is the good God is doing in your life. Not the good that we have done, but the good that comes through the grace, the undeserved favor of God in our lives. Don't be ashamed of it. Be bold about what God has done in your life. Jesus is. Therefore. As you're doing that, I'll go to the next slide just as a wrap-up of where we were. Keep writing if you need more time. But just as a recap, God loves me. Emphasize that, church. God changes me. That's what we're doing right now, and we're going to tell each other how we've been changed. God saves me over and over and over again through the blood shed on the cross. God renews me. His mercy is new every morning. Let's return to our first love over and over every single day. And God lives in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. We sang the song, "Grace abounds to me." Abound is not half empty, half full. It's a cup that's overflowing. And God's grace abounds, lives in, leaks out of you. Boy, I hope that grace would leak out of New Life Church. We would just be so filled with it that this is what we as a family will do. The good that we can do because we know how much good has been done to us and for us. I invite you to stand right where you are, and we're going to pray. And it's going to be a different kind of prayer. It's going to be one where you participate. So don't turn off your brains, and you don't even have to close your eyes, but stand right where you are as we testify with what you've written on those yellow sheets there. I'd love for you just to participate in this prayer as a family. This is a prayer potluck right now. Just read it nice and loud from right where you are. We'll hear from a few of you. Not everyone's going to have a chance, so be bold. Lord, hear our prayers and hear our praises as we hear the testimonies of your people, just right where you are. I was. Anybody?
I was lost to the world.
I was lost to the world.
He is forgiving and all loving.
He is forgiving and all loving.
Therefore, I am loved, forgiven, and saved.
Therefore, I am loved, forgiven, and saved. Hallelujah. Another. I was bound by the need to be perfect. He is perfect.
Therefore, I am perfected.
Amen. Another. I was wrong. He is righteous. There I am loved and a dwelling place for him. Thank you, Seth. Hallelujah. Another.
I was angry and bitter.
He is forgiving, gracious, and loving. Preach on, Edwin. He released from me the anger and allowed God's love to calm me and flow out of me. Thank you, Edwin. Praise God. Let's hear a few more. I was. Sorry, the baby's crying. I was too strict to my family members.
He is my teacher.
He is my teacher.
Therefore, I will always follow his ways and teachings in the Bible.
Therefore, I will always follow his ways and teachings in the Bible. Praise God. If you've been transformed, offer it up. I was. Last call. I was stressed out and weary. He is with me. God is with me. God gave me the strength to overcome all the difficulties. Thank you, Susie. Saint Susie. Lord, hear our prayers and our desperate need for your love, for your change in us, and help us to major on the gospel as the people who are transformed daily by your grace. Open our lips and open our hearts and our homes to welcome those who live like Crete. May we be a church that sees Cretans become Christians. May we be a church where people are welcome to come in with all of their sin and baggage and be changed by Jesus so that they can be holy and saints, sanctified and become saints who are loved, dearly loved children of God. May we let go of the things that divide us and hold tightly to that which unites us, namely Jesus. Only Jesus. Father, we worship you in your word and thank you that we don't have to stress about salvation on our own. That you have given us a light yoke. You have given us grace. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your word today. In your name, we, your people, say amen. I want to collect these as a testimony of our church. So if you are comfortable with sharing yours, please pass them to the middle and pass them to the front. And if you're still working on yours, there's total freedom to hang on to yours. But thank you. Thank you very much for sharing these. Those of you who spoke and those of you who are still hoping to share it with others. Without the paper in your hand, this is your story. Let me encourage you as you greet one another after our worship service to meet new people, but also to be free to share what you were, who Jesus is to you, and therefore what he has done on your behalf. We're going to sing another song with the worship team, so please remain standing or come back to your feet as we sing one last song.
Thanks for listening to this message brought to you by New Life Church of the Nazarene. Stay connected with New Life at www.newlifesf.org and on facebook.com/newlifechurchsf. Join us for Sunday worship services beginning at 10:45 a.m. Again, New Life is located at 300 Yoloa Street on Nockash Hill in San Francisco, California, 94127. The mission of New Life is to become like Christ, to belong as his community, and to bring his gospel to the world one life at a time.